Edith Bell Holden.
Your
that's the only name I ever had. Never had a middle
name. Your dad's
was I.J. Bell.
Mm-hmm. And your mother?
Cora Bell Chrislip Bell. She was named after my father's people, but they had never met. Then she knew his aunt run a boarding house, and he came there to board, and of course she knew her, and she was named Cora Bell Chrislip in honor of my father's people, but my father and she had never met until he came to the boarding house to work, to stay there with his aunt.
Where was that?
Near Mount Clair at the mines. Mount Clair, West Virginia. And 3 days, 3 months later to the day, they were married. And they
didn't let any coal dust gather under
their feet. No. So after they were married, she taught him to read and write. He could just barely sign his own name because he had very little education. So she saw him down. She didn't realize that when they were married, and she saw him lying on the floor trying to figure out some papers and stuff. She asked him what he was doing. He was stretched out on the carpet like a, he said, I was trying to some legal paper, something he had to, about their home. So, and that was a shock to her. She realized he couldn't do very good at reading and writing. So she taught him, and he got passed the test then to get his engineer on the railroad. And he worked for the B&O Railroad then as a fireman and engineer for 39 years. He could figure in his head after he learned she could do faster than I could do it on paper.
Did you have brothers and sisters there?
I have 6 sisters and 1 brother. There were 7 of us all together.
The Bell girls.
Mm-hmm. They were all married most of the time. They were 16 or 18. I was the old maid of the family. I was about 22. I got married.
Uh-huh.
My brother lives at Barberton, Ohio. And I have 1 sister who is now dead. She run Bell's Bakery there in West Virginia for years and years. Oh, 20-some years, anyhow.
What was it like growing up with all those kids around?
Well, we were all outdoor people, except my sister that died. We've often thought if she had been a more outdoor-type person, she might be living today, because she died of emphysema. Huh. But we were just regular tomboys.
What do you mean, outdoor people?
I mean, we'd rather be outdoors than in the house. Like feminine things. She liked to dress up and go to parties and things where we would rather be out roaming through the woods or swimming, hiking, anything like that, than to be in the house. Or she didn't. She never would work in the garden or wouldn't go swimming, just didn't care for it. And then when she was in her 60s, she smoked a great deal, she developed emphysema and was eventually died from it.
Mm. So you like to be out in the wild, out in the country?
No, not her.
No, but just the rest of you?
Oh, yes. Still do. I'd rather be outside than inside.
Why is that?
Because I just have a love for nature and wild animals and things that I just feel at peace when I'm outside, or especially if I'm near water. That's always been, ever since I can remember, I've been that way. I used to run off from home when I was about 3 years old and go to the river. And that's where they didn't nearly always find me, or in the woods somewhere. It didn't matter to me.
Which river was that?
The Buckhannon River. I was born and raised there on the island as you come in to come to Elkins.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's a children's home or daycare.
Yeah.
It's not home.
Right.
That was where I was
called
born.
The Island Nursery.
Yeah, that's my dad's. We owned that. And I was born there. My dad and mom built that house just sits back, that great old box of a house.
Mm-hmm.
That was theirs too.
Wow.
That's where Jerry and Clarence were born.
So you lived on an island?
Yeah, it's Buckhannon, known as the island, because the river completely surrounded it.
Was there a bridge then to your house?
No, it was right on the main highway. You pass it as you go into Buckhannon.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What made the island was a channel cut through, or the river had cut it, I don't know which. There used to be an old mill there, grist mill. That's right, and then you look right across it, see the college campus.
So you went to school in Buchanan?
Mm-hmm, until I was 12 years old.
And then what?
Then my father was transferred to Weston, B&O, during the Depression. Everybody got bumped around, you know. seniority rights and things. And we lived there all the rest of my life till I was 20, about 24. Maz and I moved to Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and lived there 28 years. And that home burned. We came back to West Virginia. I lived down the farm about 10 years, and he died, and of course the dam forced us to move. I came up here.
Where did was that place exactly?
In Weston. Or
when you came back, the farm?
It was located on what they call Little Skin Creek in Lewis County, just about 8 miles out of Weston, towards between Weston and Vandalia, on the Little Skin Creek Road, which is old, is this County Route 30, I believe it's listed. My parents had three farms there set in a triangle. It comprised 230 acres. And my brother used to have a farm there, and he sold it and went back to Ohio after he got married. After he came home from the war, and he decided not to keep it. So at one time altogether, he must have had over 300 acres there. I never did figure it up, which, how many there were. But we had an old, my parents had an old home there that was built before the Civil War, and had a spring of water there. It was enclosed that Civil War, you know, we used to camp there. And it was a beautiful old home, an old country place. But it's all gone now.
They lived there while you were living in Ohio?
Mm-hmm. When my father retired from the railroad, they moved out there. They had already bought it previously. In fact, my mother and father, my dad especially, liked to go fishing. Of course, my mother went with him. And they'd been looking at farms, and they went out there one day and they spotted this house. So my mother inquired of who owned that, and he said, oh, I think the Rittenhouses. So she waited. Of course, he went back out on the run. It's called a run, you know, when a railroader has to go out, take his turn to go. And his run went to Camden on Gauley and Pickens and all up through there. It was, and clear back around by Grafton. Taking about 3 days each time, you'd be gone. So she got on the phone and found out whose place that was, and she bought it. Of course, so he said, well, let's go fishing again. He said, let's go back out there. She said, I'd like to see in that house. He said, well, that would be trespassing. She said, well, I'd still like to see it. So she went in. He said, Mommy, as he called her, said, that's trespassing. We could get arrested. He said, I'm not sure who owns this. She said, I think I do. So he said, who's that? She said, we do. He about fell over. So soon my brother came home to service, so they moved out there.
In the late 40s?
See, he got home about 45, wasn't it? Yeah. In October 45. So they started packing up, moving. So by spring they were moved in.
And you came back there in what year?
I came back December the 24th, 1969, because our home burned in September. September 23rd, 69, exploded, burned. And then we lived there. My father died. See, my mother had already passed away. My father died then, 7 months after I got there. My husband and I was living in a trailer there right close to the house to keep, you know, watch on him because he was around 90 years old. But he only lived 7 months, so that left my husband and I there by ourselves to run that farm. We took care of it until September the 17th. He died rather suddenly. He died about 5 heart attacks, this series of them, one right after another.
How long after you were back?
About 10 years, wasn't it? We lived there alone. Almost 10 years. No one was in sight of the place. I mean, we had the three farms that laid in a triangle there, so there wasn't anyone in sight. And then after he died, of course, I was there entirely alone in the middle of 230 acres. No one, because everybody at that time had moved away, except the nearest place would be almost a mile away. That was Stonikers and Taylor's down the road. And of course, I was going to be forced to move. And I had all that on my back by myself. You just couldn't get much help.
Was it a pretty good farm?
No, it was a private place. I mean, you owned it, and no one could get in close to you, or no one could move inside of you. And I expect it run a mile on a highway from one end of the farm, three farms to the other. Lots of fishing and hunting. But it was badly overgrown, because no one had worked since my brother moved away. In about 40, well, I just don't, I've lost track of time, about 47 or something like that, he left after he returned from service. So it was really badly overgrown. But it was home. We kept the place clean around the house, you know, the lawn and everything.
Did you have a garden?
Yes. There were coal mines on the place, too. And just about anything you wanted. There was plenty of water, streams of water. It was beautiful, but it set down in a valley, so you didn't have much view like we have here.
So what happened then?
Well, of course, the Army Corps came through there and condemned all those places, and we're taking it for this big dam that's going in. So my husband died in September, then they came. They'd already contacted us, of course, through Jerry, you know, my sister up here. So all the legal aspects and things, I didn't have any part in it, because my brother-in-law was named as agent, and she was helping him. Well, in the meantime, while that was going on, I had all my husband's affair to take care of, and I had to run his will through the state of West Virginia, through the state of Ohio. I had to get an ancillary, someone to help you. Is that what the name of it?
Yeah, I guess ancillary administrator.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, it took a year to get his will straightened up. And I just sold his place, or our place, for just last week, if it was, last Friday. A week ago this Friday. So while that was going on, getting his will settled, my sister and my brother-in-law was busy getting the Army Corps business straightened up. And then we would not accept the offer that they gave us. It wasn't high enough to suit us. And, of course, they took us to court. They condemned it then. And I think it was another year. See, me like, I moved away from there in September. I moved up here in September the 21st, 1981. And that had been going on all that time since 79.
So it took you 2 years to settle with the court?
Mm-hmm. And then, see, then it had to be split six ways, because in the meantime, my sister had died. And that money was split six ways, and it didn't leave me enough to buy a home, really. And I was the only one in the family who had to buy it, because the rest of them all owned their own homes and had, you know, plenty to go on. So I was really hurting, because they have to show you three places, at least. And she brought out the, you know, folders of real estate. But when I would go, I was shocked what they offered me for that. Like $39,000, it was places that would be, $15,000 would be tops for them. And finally, I...
Would you say that again?
Well, the places that they have to show you the real estate things that they have in comparison to what they're taking from you. Well, when they went, they didn't take me any place. They just told me where they were, and I had to go to real estate agent Gardens and look at them myself, and I was shocked when I saw what they was trying to shove off onto me. They were nice about it, and I was nice about it, but inside I was burning up, see, because I didn't have that much money, and I knew I was giving up much better place than what they were showing me.
Were these other places in Lewis County?
Yes. And finally, I called my sister up here, who had a business place called Country Corners, and was complaining bitterly about what I was running into and couldn't find a place. In the meantime, I'd had two notices to get that trailer off the property, my husband's place. And she said, well, I know some good friends of mine, and Mrs. Harris, and she's been in there saying she's going to have to move because she's being transferred or something like that. So that's how I found this place here, was through my sister. There's a business over here in town. But I think I had to I had gotten two notices to remove the trailer. but I don't think they sent me notice to move out of the house. It was just that it was my husband's things. I suppose they wanted that off there. But anyhow, I sold a trailer to a man up the road. He come and got it and moved it off. And I think that was just about, I'd have to look in my checkbook and all my records, but it was maybe 2 weeks before the trailer was gone that I finally moved away. But it took me 3 months to move up here. I just started in, Arisa sold me the place on July the 4th, 81. And of course, Hugh and he, Roger, they still had some of their things in here. And I just moved gradually, slowly moved over that period of time until the 21st of September of 81. So it was an awful long, hard struggle. And I just wouldn't want to go through it again. I wouldn't have the courage to go through it again, knowing now what I know, knowing now what I did go through with.
People over there in that area must have known that you had to leave, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Of course, there were looters. You know, everybody had problems being looted. And
what do you mean?
Well, whenever you were going to town, there was hordes of cars and trucks would move in and just clean you out. My neighbor up the road, just around, not any farther here from down to Marion's, which, but out of sight of me, they were moving to a place, someplace between Weston and Jane New, I don't know just where, but they were elderly, retired couple. And she had oriental rugs and antiques and things and a deep freeze full of all their winter supply of meat. They tore the house down. She said, you had to move and tear your house down or make some arrangements to have it torn down or leave it there and the government would tear it down. I forget now just what arranges, how you had to work that. Or you could buy the place down and tear it down yourself or something like that. Well, I knew I wasn't physically able to tear that big two-story house down. But getting back to my neighbors, they hadn't been gone 20 minutes till somebody went in, ripped up the floor, went through and unlocked the basement and just backed the truck up and just cleaned them out. And they were just heart sick or something because they could never replace them. And of course, the freezer full of their winter food, their meat never just been stocked up. So I know when I was pulling out, and like Lot's wife, I looked back, of course, you know, and it was getting, I had about 15 minutes for daylight, and there they came, pulling in, just that quick. And Jerry said, there comes the vultures. And I set up, I lived there by myself, and I set up all night long with a 12-gauge shotgun and a 45, and another gun or two I borrowed, the hooker crook, and fought those looters off, but still they got some of the doors pried open, but couldn't quite make it in, and it was a terrible ordeal.
You fought them off? What do you mean?
I mean the looters, the people who come to steal off of you, to break in. I put two befores against the door, I nailed plywood over the windows. And still they got some of the doors open, but not enough that they could get in, because I had them blocked clear across the room.
They were trying to get in while you were
in
there?
To steal. While I was there at night by myself, in the middle of that 230 acres, nobody around. I sat up all night with a shotgun, a 12-gauge, loaded with buckshot. That's one of the cops gave me, by the way. And a 45. And many, many nights, I had to fire those guns. The sheriff said, that's why he told me to have my husband's sale immediately, which took me 30 days to get everything ready. He had a machine shop and a gun shop, a place full of guns. He said, we can only come by here once tonight. We can't help you any more than that. And you're out here by yourself and on your own. And my advice is to you is to have a sale and sell all of his guns, because they'll go one at a time. They'll just clean you out. And even so, I lost quite a bit of things.
Who were these looters?
I don't know.
When did the looting start?
Just as soon as people started moving away. I worked a midnight shift at the state hospital, and I saw my husband was getting not too well. I mean, he was having these sick spells. And I begged to get put off the midnight shift to go back on the second shift at midnight. I mean, I'd get home around midnight. And as I was going down the road, it suddenly dawned on me that there wasn't any more people on the road between me. They'd all moved away, one by one. And it was just like a bunch of termites. You could hear them ripping the wiring and the lumber off going when I was going to work, and I got scared. That was another thing prompted me to get on a daytime shift, but I was not able to do it. Well, the next you'd go at night and come back the next morning, and half the house would be gone. Of these empty houses where people moved out of. My next door neighbor, which bought my brother's place, was just over the hill, about as far from here to Hughes' place, but out of sight, you know, over the ridge. She went to work at the hospital that morning. When she come back that evening, about 4:30, half of her barn was gone. They just moved in there and stripped it. So that's what we all of us had to put up with, that moved away from there, especially those out in the country. I don't know about that is out, you know, in outlying out of the way. Stoves, refrigerators, everything would go.
Did the Corps attempt to protect those places? Or?
If they did, I wasn't aware of it. I think it was up to each individual to protect themselves.
But it sounds like after the Corps moved in, that there was just complete chaos everywhere.
I never got out much to talk to other people, but it was the rumors that I heard that everybody was having a rough time protecting themselves and finding a place to go. And I just don't know. It was just hearsay. Because I worked the midnight shift, and I had to sleep at least till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That only gave me 4 hours sleep. And then I would go down and I always stopped to see my husband as I came in, talk to him. He lived in the trailer right there close to the house. And then I would maybe have a cup of coffee with him, and I'd go up and go to bed, sleep till 1 o'clock, and then we'd start in on the farm doing some work or something. In the wintertime, he had gun work, and he was a highly skilled mechanic or machinist. And he didn't realize he didn't have to go through all that to know what it was to be alone and to be afraid, I guess.
There was no way you could get out very fast because you had to, there was a long court fight.
Yes.
Was that true of everybody who sold out to them?
Some of them, I think, sold out immediately, accepted what, when they first started buying them out, they gave a much better price. But those who had, they took the people that only had a house and a lot. They picked them off first. And those who had, they just kept, like they had a scale, in my mind, that's the way it was. We had 230 acres, more or less, there. The bigger people up there had 1,500, maybe much more. I heard some of them had as high as 3,000 acres. I'm not sure. Those who were better off and more prominent farmers, they put them off to the very last. And they used to publish the price in the paper, what each farm got. Then there was such hassle and so many phone calls that they quit that. But it seems to me like we got $165,000. I would have to ask Jerry because she handled all of the money. In our father's will said we each had to share and share alike. When my sister died, of course, her share had to be redistributed amongst us. So this place here was $45,000. And I think I come up with $23,000, like $333.33. They split it, you know, six ways. My moving bill up here was over $4,000. I had to keep an accurate account of everything, receipt for everything, which I did, because I did bookkeeping and that kind of work for years. So that wasn't any problem to me, so I was better off than some who had to just struggle with that. And they then reimbursed me for all my moving costs.
The Corps did?
Mm-hmm. But as for replacing what they had taken from me, it didn't cover it, because I had to put in a new septic system here and two, three other things, I forget. Oh yes, the bathroom wall, well, you know, the floor fell out of the bathroom in there and the wall fell out, which I have never been able to have the money to have that repaired yet. But those are things you run into, where a man who can do carpenter work would just jump onto this place and fixed it up. But it is a nice warm house. I mean, there's no problem about that. And of course, the view is fantastic. The millionaires sometimes don't have a view like we have. And of course, the fresh air and the good water, I suppose, more than compensates for the giving up the better house.
You like it up here?
I didn't at first. I couldn't hardly stand it. I don't know why. I didn't like it. But now I'm getting used to it.
What was the house like that you lost?
It was a big two-story house. Like I say, it had a hallway went clear up through to the upper floor, like the old southern homes, and there was two large bedrooms upstairs and a hallway, and a bedroom downstairs, and a living room, a large dining room, almost as big as this, and a large kitchen and a bathroom, and of course a cellar house outside with a large cellar house up over it. There was room for everything. Where here I'm crowded. Used to have a great big front porch on it. And originally during the Civil War, it had a front porch that went clear up to the top, you know, to second story. But it was a comfortable. And old. I like old antique houses.
I do too. So you got $165,000 for this?
I believe not. I don't. I wouldn't know until you check with Jerry.
200 and some acres of land.
Yeah, we didn't get as much as we should have had. But what can you do?
What was the difference between the price you were offered initially and the court settlement?
$140,000, I believe. We had mineral rights and coal, timber. We didn't get anything for that. They took it.
$140,000 was the original offer, and by waiting and going through probably a court case.
Yeah. I forget Judge Maxwell or somebody over here. Oh, Jerry, you should talk to her because she knows the monetary, all that. She handled all that. Well, after my husband died, that left me out there all by myself. And having to work midnight shift. That was really bad because not a soul was around there. And I couldn't, it was just now and then I'd get some members of my family that they could spare some time to come and stay and guard the place, because guard it you had to do. I mean, you had to guard it with guns, but you wouldn't have had anything. Well, I had enough time built up that I didn't use my sick time and my leaves, you know, that I only had to work about 10 more days till I could retire at 62 years of age. And that's what I did. I retired because I knew I had to move, and I was sitting in a very critical situation out there, being alone, no one in sight. So I took early retirement at a, you know, loss of pay. Then 7 months later, my sister died, and of course that was a shock, you know, and because she was going to move up here and live with us, probably with me or with Jerry. And, or we were going to get, three of us going to go together and buy a bigger, better farm than what I could do on my own. But as it turned out, I had it all to do on my own and to buy a home. But she left us a farm out in Arkansas, 80 acres. And we have it up for sale. We have a buyer for it now, but the legal papers are, the attorney for the people's wanting to buy it. I believe it's a big timber company. We've already sold several thousand dollars worth of timber off of it. Then she left us mineral rights in 200 acres out there. So maybe they'll all work out. I'll update this place as I get money to do it. And I've had an offer on this place, $50,000. But when I went to look at the places they offered me for $65,000, I was sick. I come back, I got better right here. I'm not going till I can better myself if I go at all. Like my brother-in-law tells me, he comes out and does his mowing. He said, "You've got a beautiful place here. I mean, your scenery is so beautiful. You got plenty of water, fresh air and sunshine, good neighbors. What else could anybody want?" So I guess he's right.
When you first heard of the dam or were first approached by the Corps, did you imagine, what did you imagine that living would be like? Or did you not think about it?
No, I was living in Ohio at that time, and they had approached my parents. See, this has been going on more or less since, I believe, as far back as 1933. And each new administration gets in, it was dropped or re-picked up. But when Rockefeller came there to groom himself to become governor and later president, which he is aiming for, one day, that is after my father died, and I was living alone there in the house, and my husband lived in a trailer, that way we could guard both places, because we didn't dare leave the house by itself or the trailer, but both sleeping in the same place. And by working the midnight shift, I could go up there and go to bed, and he could go on with his work. Well, one day somebody knocked on the door, and the man was there, and he says, "I'm lost." I said, "Well, where would you like to go?" And he said, "I'm looking for..." And he gave it.